Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Providence Presbyterian Church, October 20th. And we like to welcome all of you and thank God for this wonderful day. And we thank God for the gift of everybody who's here to enjoy the worship and to be together as the body of Christ. And we extend our special welcome to our visitors. And please, if this is your first time, just look in the aisle and you see the badge, and write your name and pass it around. We would love to have your information, to be in touch with you, and to get to know your names at least. A reminder about the Bible study, just to remind you, we have Bible study every Sunday at 9 a.m., led by Pastor Glenn and Jorison Ruka. And today we'll have a very special meeting, so instead of having a coffee hour after worship, we'll go down to have the congregation meeting to talk, and this will be our last meeting in relation to the interim study committee. So please, you are welcome to come, enjoy wonderful food down there, and we are thankful for Ryan and Irene for providing the food downstairs and for the help of the deacons and for our interim study committee members. And please come and join us after worship and pray for this meeting to be really a good closing for our process. The interim study committee meeting will meet Tuesday, October 22nd at 6:30, and hopefully this will be celebrating our last meeting together to finish the process, so pray for that. Any other announcements?
The youth will be playing soccer this afternoon with a couple of the neighboring churches, and we'll be gathering on the front lawn at 2:45 or so to go down to the field at Hope and Lloyd. You can come and meet us there, or you can come here if we need to ride or run down and training run down or something like that. So, right, Phil? So, please join us, youth grades 6 through 12.
Outreach Steering Committee is going to meet tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and we are going to specifically be looking at alternative giving. So alternative giving is where we offer up the opportunity for families to contribute to various organizations instead of buying gifts for your family members. And so we're going to be reviewing the organizations and thinking about the leadership and how we're going to organize that for this year. So if you are interested and would like to come, we'd love to have you come to that meeting to learn more about it. And so it's Monday at 7 p.m. here at church.
Let's see any of the other partners in crime here. So so I'm going to make the announcement. So On Thursday at 8 o'clock, the Men's Fellowship will be having one of our recreational nights at the Wild Colonial down on Water Street starting at 8 o'clock. So I think we have enough to make it a go. So please come. We have a semi-private room. There'll be dartboards, and you can put pictures of whoever you want to throw darts at up on the dartboard.
This is just another reminder that this coming Saturday is our fall festival at the church. It will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Everyone is invited to come. Bring your friends and neighbors. We'll have a bouncy house, crafts, games, lots of fun for the children. We are in desperate need of some volunteers. We only have 4 people signed up, so in order to make this a joyful event for everyone, we're asking for volunteers to help with either the crafts or leading some of the games or overseeing the bouncy house, that kind of thing. So if you are interested, there is a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room during coffee hour. If you have any questions about what this may entail, please come and see me during coffee hour. And I think that's it. Another plea for some childcare help during the Sunday morning Bible study group time, starting at 9 a.m. if anyone is available or interested to help with childcare for those of those parents who would like to attend the Bible study time, please see me and I can give you more information about that. Thanks.
was suggested by Pastor Chris. Julie's going to be dropping me off at a dentist appointment, and because of the situation that I'm having, I have an appointment at a dentist on Reservoir Ave, and Julie will be dropping me off, but I need support on getting a ride back. If anybody could try to, if they could possibly pick me up or give me a phone number, I would really appreciate it.
And that's on Wednesday? That's on Wednesday, so see Melinda if you can help with that. We're looking for a ride home on Wednesday afternoon for that.
All right, thank you.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Let us all come to the glory of the Lord to enjoy the worship. Our first hymn, Blessed Be Your Name, led by our worship band.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're alive and awake. Join me in standing as we sing.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Let us pray in silence and then pray together. We seek you on the mountaintop, O God, for we fear to face the city. We would rather be dazzled by your splendor on some Sinai than obey your commands in the urban wilderness. We find it easier to worship the wonder-working Jesus than to follow the Christ who was obedient unto death. Merciful God, forgive our shallow ways. Help us to find your whatever you choose to send us. Amen. And the song of confession, our God, our help in ages past, verse 3, number 210. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. May the God of mercy who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Ninyama eye si si ninyefi
Time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of the life of this community and our world and our own lives and well beyond this place. We lift those prayers seriously in this congregation, not only in this time but on Wednesdays and in the work of our prayer chain and in our individual prayer practices as well. So we invite your prayers this morning as we share together.
Well, after that opening, this may seem a little frivolous, but the Red Sox are going to the World Series. And it's a great joy because they kept me going during the last 2 weeks. I kept turning on the TV, seeing whether our government had collapsed yet, and it's been a hard time. So, and there's a lesson in this, and that is that 2 years ago, the last 2 years, the Red Sox have been on the rocks. And the reason for that is because they had a lot of stars, they had a lot of talent, but they weren't playing together. We had guys eating chicken in the clubhouse during the game and playing cards and I don't know what all. But something interesting happened when they got a few people out and they brought some new talent in, and then they were playing well, and the Boston Marathon bombing happened. And the team was on the runway waiting to take off at that point. And it really changed their season and the way that they looked at it. And so now we have talent, and we have people working together, and that's the way things should be done, and that's the way that you get things done.
A prayer for a friend. Her name is Esinam. Her mother came to visit her. 1 week she passed away. The body is taken home to Ghana on Tuesday. I need a prayer for the family.
What's the name of the family?
Esinam.
Esinam.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask your prayers for Pacific Natana Bindi, who is the 15-year-old member of the Burundi family that we work with in this church. He spent about almost a week in the hospital a week ago, a little bit mysterious as to what was going on. But the report yesterday was that he had gotten back to school at the end of this past week and a doctor's report on Friday that seemed to indicate things were on the mend. That's kind of mysterious and very frightening for the family. And so continuing prayers for them and for Pacifique.
My friend Rick Evans, his cancer has returned with a vengeance, and he's not going to be with us much longer. His two daughters need your prayers to get through what's left of his life.
Good morning, everybody. I have a joy and a concern today. The joy is that our baby Aiden is 100 days old, which in my culture is a big deal. And we usually have a party and everything, so we went to share the celebration with the church today. We have a big cake and food downstairs, so please come to the interim committee meeting because that's where the party's going to be, and you're going to get a lot of cake. We got vanilla and chocolate for everybody who likes vanilla or chocolate, so please come and celebrate with us and say happy birthday to Aiden as well. Our concern today is actually a sad one. Ryan's father was diagnosed this week with a very large tumor in his stomach, and it looks pretty advanced. We don't know what the diagnosis is yet. He actually lives in North Carolina, and so Ryan will be flying down to North Carolina tomorrow to pick up his father and his dog and move them up here so they can come and live with us so he can get treatment up here. So just prayers for his father. His name is Ray. Thank you.
Good morning. Maryam, she just turned 2 years today. And thank you. And we bring cake downstairs. We like to join us and make happy birthday for her. This is the most likely song for her.
Dearly beloved, being a Presbyterian Calvinist from the Bronx, having been brought up about three blocks from Yankee Stadium, I want to give all honor and respect to the Red Sox. And all I can say about the Yankees is pray for them and wait till next year. I would hope also, at the risk of, I'll assume at the risk of being presumptuous, that you will join me in a prayer for the leaders of this country, that they will have the courage, if not the providential wisdom, to stop kicking the can down the road. And that with God's help and our prayers, and I'm always reminded of an American Native leader who said one time that we have to pray and then move our feet. So I hope that we also will move our feet, and that we will be a people of faith. We will be a people of love and mercy, and help stop kicking the can down the road. So Selah and Shalom.
I would like prayers for my friend and co-worker, Janet DeSimone. She recently discovered that she has lung cancer, and tomorrow she'll be going in for surgery. So prayers for her and her family.
Our friends Roger and Kathy are here, visiting us for a couple of days. Make sure you say hi to them. And we're very grateful that they were able to visit us for a few days, and thank God for that.
I want a special prayer for one of my friend who lost his wife yesterday in a car accident, and a 9-month-old in the hospital and 4-month-old in the hospital, and the rest and the dad in a very critical situation. So please pray for them as they're saying goodbye to the mother at the same time waiting to hear good news on the rest of the family. Okay, let us pray together. We thank you, God, for your love and care and for everything you gave to us. And I thank you for the great gift that we saw through Jesus Christ when we saw the love is walking with us, when we saw what you promised us became flesh and became something we can touch and we can see and we can relate to. We thank you for this great miracle of God being on earth, walking with us, and we believe in the same Spirit. Through the Trinity, you still walk and accompany us in all these hard moments, the time when we face death or sickness or depression or all kind of troubles we see in this world as individual and as a community. But in all these, we thank you because you have been with us in the past. And with the same faith, we trust you are here with us today, and you will be with us tomorrow. And we thank you also for your Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to confess and face our sins and our weakness. And we thank you for being here with us, listening, watching, and caring for us. We pray for the whole world as we see the words with more wars, and we pray for peace instead of war in Iraq, in Afghanistan, the long conflict between Israel and Palestine. We pray for instability in Egypt, Libya, Syria, Tunisia, and our many areas in the whole world. And we pray for all the victims of these wars and these crimes. We pray for the poor everywhere. And we ask you, other nations that still struggle from the financial crisis, to help them and help their people. And in all these, we are challenged to help the poor and the shortness of food in the third world, and especially in Africa. It'll help us to remember our responsibility for the poor and help us to keep practicing our faith in the midst of our needs. We dream to see your justice and freedom for every man and woman, child, and in every nation. We ask you for all the oppressed and marginalized people around the world to live free with dignity, without separation because of their religion, color, nationality, sexual orientation, or their social class. We pray for Christians in the Middle East and to use them as your witness of your love and for your peace between Muslims and Christians, between Sunnis and Shias and Kurds, and all these kind, because in all these, we are the image of God. We are the children of God. We pray for every vulnerable and minority in the whole world. Comfort them and protect them. We pray and bless every faith and every nation and everything you create, because you create everything good. And please help us to keep the goodness and reduce the corruption in our own world and in our own nation. We ask for your justice to shine out to the leaders of the world and to the leader of our country, to all courts and judges, national leaders, soldier, and everybody in their job and their work. We pray for our church through this important time to help our people and the congregation meeting today. Guide us through your wisdom and enlighten us through your spirit. We pray for those today who came and shared their needs with us. Pray for the family in Egypt. I pray for the husband who lost his wife. And I pray for the son and the daughter and the husband who's still in a critical medical situation. But also we pray for those who are waiting outside the room with a broken heart. No words could comfort. Nothing could comfort them unless a miracle of peace that could come from their inside. So God, you are the only hope for these families and for others too. And as we come and share with you the joy of Eden's 100 days, and we thank you for this time. Thank you for the gift that you gave to Irene and Ryan. And we thank you for Mariam for her second birthday, and we pray for blessings on her childhood. We pray for those with need today who are suffering from physical illness. And we pray for Ryan's father to be with him and to support the whole family and to guide them. We pray for Jihada, pray for Jackie Cooper, and pray for others. We pray for Dan's friend and his daughters. We pray for Aluma's friends. We pray for Pacifique and for the whole Rwandan's family. We pray for Sinam family. We pray for all these people, God, and we trust they are in your hand. We pray for those who suffer and those who care for them. We pray for those who are really here with us, and we pray for those who are not here. We pray for young and old. We pray for people with good news and people with hard news. We pray for people who receive new life and people say goodbye to another life. We pray for all these, and we pray for people who cares and minister for them. We pray for people who cannot speak about their need, but we know by your Holy Spirit you can hear us. We pray for people who are really with no hope or homeless or vulnerable to be with them. We pray for our ministers, elders, deacons, staff members, and for our mission as a church. All of us need your hope and support. God, together we pray for our church to be faithful and witness to Jesus Christ and to his message every day, who taught us how to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, can we have the children come forward? All right, come on up. Hello.
Hi.
All right.
Wow.
You guys are in my face today. That's all right. I don't mind. So I have a question. Have any of you guys... you can sit in my lap. Wait, I need... any of you guys ever helped your mom or dad with a project, like a woodworking project? Yeah? Yeah, what have you helped to build?
Build a lot. I helped him build our new cabinets for our kitchen.
Wow, wow, we could have used you. We probably saved some money when we built our new cabinets. Yeah, what about you?
I'm helping my mom make a recycling neighborhood.
Recycling neighborhood. Okay, well, good, because I'm glad we have some people with experience here, because I have a job for you, okay? And it's going to be two different jobs, okay? So let's see. Here we have one screwdriver there. And here we have one block of wood here. And we'll give, there's a screwdriver, and there's a screw, and there's a screwdriver, and there's a screw and a screwdriver. And I want you to try to put that screw right in the middle of that block, okay? And let's see. See, they're a little, one of the jobs is a little harder than the other, but we'll come back to that in just a moment. Can you get that right in the middle of that block? Right, maybe right there? Yeah, that would be good. Okay. All right. So anyway, I want to tell you a little story. When I was a boy, I was about 14 years old. Okay? See if you can get that in there. Yeah. I was about 14 years old. My parents were all the way around the other side of the world, and I was staying with my grandma. And she was saying how my grandpa couldn't get into his house very well. And she said, is there anything I could do to help? And could I help build a little ramp? Well, you know, I said, okay, I can do that. I'd just taken trigonometry, so I figured I could figure out how to do that. And the problem was that I didn't really have any materials. So I was kind of looking around, and I was walking somewhere, and I saw this sort of set of wood. And I asked the person there, and they said, oh, we were throwing that out. So I brought it back. And then I started playing with it and cutting it and trying to figure out what to do. And then the neighbor came across the street. And the neighbor said, oh, what are you doing? And I said, I'm building a ramp for my grandpa. And he said, well, we just finished fixing our house, and we have some extra wood. And he brought it over, and we have some nails and stuff. And so I put it together, and I built this little ramp for my grandpa. And I was talking to my grandma. I said, isn't it a wonderful coincidence that all this other wood was around when I was trying to help my grandpa so I could build this ramp? And you know what she told me? She said, oh, I don't think it's a coincidence. She says, when you do God's will, things have a way of happening. And she knew about that. Now let me see how you guys are doing with the wood here. Now, it looks like, Ben, it looks like you did pretty well. You having some trouble over there? Yeah, what's the problem? Was it easier for him? There must have been a hole. Yes, there was a hole. I gave you a block of wood, and I didn't have a hole for it. Well, you know, I think that's a little bit like working with God. When you do what God wants you, there's kind of a hole there. God helps you. Okay? When you try and do something by yourself without God's help, I don't think he's going to put a hole in there, but maybe he will. When you do what God wants, things are a little easier because God's going to help you. And I think that's like the little hole in the wood here. All right? So let's say a little prayer. God, help us to do what you want, because we know when we're doing what you want that we can do it better. Amen. All right. Go to class.
Good morning. Our New Old Testament lesson this morning is from Psalm 127, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 541 and in the large print Bible on page 704. The verses this week are so short that I have to make sure I have exactly which verse I'm going to say. I lucked out this week as worship leader. I did. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. The New Testament lesson is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 187 and in the large print Bible on page 242. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, sorry.
It's not that short, Jenny.
It was really powerful. Okay, sorry.
It's kind of important for the sermon.
Okay, I'm going to start over again so we get the full power of it. All right, verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We continue on in this series of Psalms of Ascent, the journey to Jerusalem that was introduced to us and these prayers that the pilgrims prayed as they were on the journey. As we prepare to enter into God's word this day, will you pray with me?
gracious God, pour forth your spirit upon these, the hearts and minds and thoughts of your people, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a very strange turn of phrase to encounter images of building when one is on a journey. Right in the middle of these Psalms of Ascent, this pilgrim's journey to Jerusalem, which in a psalm that is also considered one of the wisdom psalms, I think it is very wise. And I think it is wise for us, however, to look at this psalm of building, this psalm of ascent, and claim the Lord's power with the very foundation of life. To be building when one is on a move, on a journey. And yet often we are building best when we are on the move. Or are we moving best when we are building? It's a challenge to look at what we take on that journey and how we can indeed build in the midst of it. We yearn, I think, at times, sometimes more often than others, for things to stand still a bit, just so that we can rest a little. Not like the government shutdown kind of slowing down and its aftermath that we've just experienced. But we find over and over again the nature of life is that it is not that way. That change comes and change is inevitable. That transitions are all around us, if not in our own lives, then in the lives of so many that we hear. The question for us this day, and perhaps all days, is the question that Pastor Medhat raised for us early in this series: how to remain faithful and real in that process. And for us, in this psalm today, as we encounter it, to claim the truth, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. I love the story in the book of Acts of one of the times that Paul was being threatened, for there were many in the book of Acts, the story of the wise Pharisee Gamaliel, who ended his speech saying, "Let's not be so hasty here," by saying, "If this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them," meaning Paul and his companions in this story in Acts 5. This Psalm of 127, which starts with calling us back to the very foundation of life, to the Lord God, who gives life, redeems, and enlivens all of life, and calls us to move with vision, with hope, and with power. Family or city, all need a foundation in God. And at the heart of that foundation is a relationship with God. It is what brings us back each week to this place, to be renewed, inspired, to be reminded that we are not the center of all life, but our Lord should be. It's not about us, but about the Lord's building in our midst. And I don't mean this 100-year-old church. The Lord's building in our lives individually and in community together. Blessed be your name, O Lord, as we sang in the opening hymn today with the worship band. I can't think, however, about building without thinking of the 2 years that we spent on the journey with Nehemiah rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. The people gathered from so many different directions to rebuild, to work together, seeking God in humility, in trust, in faith, that God would guide, inspire, and bring forth the resources needed to accomplish what God had given them to do. That's why I asked Andrew to share that story this morning with our children. There are numerous images of building throughout the Psalms, but this is the only one we find amid these Psalms of journey and ascent to Jerusalem, one that includes the travel on the journey. The Apostle Paul knew about building as he developed the churches and communities of faith in his day. In his final words to the letter of the letter to the Philippians, he reminded the people of their focus in prayer, to keep their focus on God and God's will for their life together, to bring everything they had and everything they were to that God, holding nothing back and keeping that focus strong. For we are God's people, God's building to seek to do God's will in the world wherever we find ourselves. It's also one of the reasons that I like our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast. As we come from work and before work, intergenerational, across our diversity, midweek to lift up what we have heard on Sunday expressed in prayer, what is before us as a church, what is happening in our city, our community, and our world. There's a fullness in remembering that, not just on Sunday morning, but midweek as well. There is a joy in coming together to realize that we are not on our own, that we may cast our cares upon the Lord, and we need not worry in the midst of that. True rest comes only from the Lord, the psalmist writes, not from our own doing. The psalmist reminds, eating the bread of anxious toil will not serve us well. Yet what does this say about the results of prayer in a foundation built upon the Lord? It doesn't say in this text that if we pray, God will give us everything we want. But rather, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The first pastor that I worked with nearly 25 years ago now used to remind us frequently that Jesus told his disciples, and it, as it is recorded in John, a peace that the world does not give and the world does not take away. And this letter to the Philippians finishes later in chapter 4, God will fully satisfy every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord builds the house upon the real needs which are there, and we partner in that as we gather together. I think of this kind of peace as a peace which opens up space to enable us to see new opportunities, new possibilities before us. A space where things may be made much clearer if the anxiety can be taken out. Now, it's true that a little bit of anxiety helps the system to move and to look more closely, but too much anxiety can paralyze and block vision and turn us inward. Fortunately, in most communities, there are people who are highly anxious and people who don't seem to get anxious about anything, even when they should. And that is the benefit and the wonder of being in community together, to let those gifts weave together. And prayer weaves those things together in and around in all ways that can bring calm, to call us back to the God who made us and strengthens us and allows for new vision to surface. God's light and power to break through in surprising ways. And so on Wednesday mornings, we gather here at 7:30, thanks to Sean Patton's wonderful cooking skills. We also have a hot breakfast. We take a moment in fellowship with one another to wait in silence and listen for where God is leading. We do the same in Sunday mornings, away from what people normally are these days seem to be doing on Sunday mornings. And I know many of you take time in your weeks as well and in the ministry of our prayer chain. At the heart of this congregation and what it has become is prayer and a willingness to step out to risk in faith, even when the path is not fully clear. Prayer has a way of clearing the way for that to happen when we truly connect to God as the foundation of life itself. And so the journey continues, with the challenge to let the Lord build the house, for what the Lord wills for this place and all of our lives will be. And it will bring a peace, a peace that the world does not give and the world can never take away. Several weeks ago, as we began this journey, I said into these Psalms of Ascent, Pastor Med had challenged us to be faithful and real. When we seek to do that through the power of prayer, there can be amazing building. Past, present, future. What is the faithful thing for us to do today? To listen for the work that God is already doing to build the house and guard the city, and to continue building where the Lord is building the house. May God's will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let us live into that hope, and that hope alone, with joy today and always. Amen.
Before we stand and affirm our faith, I just wanted to bring to your attention that this week's affirmation of faith comes from the Heidelberg Catechism, and the asterisk there you'll see next to it leads you to the back page. There's more explanation about the Heidelberg Catechism, but the reason why we're using it as our affirmation of faith today is that this year is the 450th anniversary of the Heidelberg Catechism, and so we're celebrating our history and thinking about moving forward as in this time of Reformation as we prepare for Reformation Sunday. So if you can stand with me now, we'll affirm our faith. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil, that he protects me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head, indeed that everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And now I invite Phil Chan to come up to do our moment for mission.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back. So as some of you may know, my name is Phil Chan. I'm one of the HIV doctors over at Merriam Hospital. And I was on a medical mission trip last week to Ethiopia. I was invited by City Life Church up in Boston. The program, the overall mission organization was called Mission to the World. And the program that I went with was called the ACT program. So it stands for AIDS Care and Treatment. And it's run by a guy named Andy Warren. Now, I'm going to run through some pictures to sort of show you more. But it's really one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And I just wanted to share with you this morning a little bit about it. And when I say amazing, I don't necessarily mean fun in that traditional amazing sense. I mean amazing more to see God sort of work in action. It was a very challenging trip, both physically, emotionally, and mentally. And they worked us. We worked. It was certainly not a vacation. So let me take you through some pictures here. But here's the website. You can check out the website there if you Google ACT. And again, the overarching mission organization is called Mission to the World. It's a program that I had been with a few times before to different parts of the world. Next slide, please. So just to remind everyone, Ethiopia is in eastern Africa there on the coast, on the border. Next slide. And so I'm going to be honest, I wasn't exactly sure what I was getting into. So I was really busy up until the time that I had to go. And I hadn't had a whole lot of background on what I was doing. I knew I was going to do medical mission work within the major city, Addis Ababa, the capital city. But I wasn't sure exactly what it entailed. Regardless, they had asked me to bring a bunch of supplies, so this is before I packed. I brought about 60 or 70 medical supplies. These were supplied by Walgreens. They gave me about 50% off. But, you know, if you look through, there's about 50 things of hydrocortisone cream, of fungal cream. There's some cough syrup under there and shampoo, and also some first aid kits and such there. So different people from City Life brought different stuff, but this is sort of what I was asked to bring. Next slide, please. And so this was our team on the ground there. So from right to left, that's me. That's Heidi Abendroth, who was a member here, who now goes up to City Life, but she was actually the one that invited me. So she's a nurse practitioner of pediatrics at Hasbro Hospital here in Providence. The next person there is Sarah, who's a nurse practitioner of OBGYN. Then Karen Moses up top is a OBGYN nurse. Susie, the gal to the left, is a internal medicine nurse. The lady next to that is Jing. She's a economics grad student. I thought of Andrew. The person on the far left there is Karen. She is a dietitian nutritionist. And the Asian gal in front is Julia, who is a PT person. And then the other guy there is Naaman, who's assistant pastor up at City Life. So we had a very diverse group, as you can see. But it went well, and it was an amazing group of people, and certainly we all bonded, and it was good to see, the trip working in everyone's life there and sort of people growing both spiritually as the trip went on. It was really amazing. Next slide, please. So this is the guy that runs it, Andy Warren, and he's been in Ethiopia now for about 19 years. He's initially from Tennessee, and his background is as a journalist, so he had really no medical training. And it's really fascinating to see how he grew up this program dedicated to AIDS, HIV/AIDS patients. What this organization does, and basically sort of the best way I could frame it, it's like intensive case management. So they do some medical stuff, but basically what they do is they take on HIV/AIDS patients within Ethiopia and provide sort of a comprehensive care program for them. So for example, they take care of health needs. They also send the kids to school and pay for it if the family can't afford it. And they also take care of other members of the family. So it's very sort of health related. It's also very spiritually. They provide counseling, emotional support. And they have 7 or 8 medical teams per year that come through, like the team that I was on, that sort of addresses any physical needs that come up. The patients, for the most part, are still taken care of by the HIV government health centers there. But we sort of come on and address any other non-HIV needs and sort of take a second look at everything. Next slide, please. So this is Heidi. This is the other thing that's amazing about this program is that they go out into the poorest sections of the city. They're not sort of, they actually go out and search and look to see where they're needed most. And we were actually the first team to start ministering to one of the sections of the city here in Addis Ababa. So this is Heidi. This is sort of the start of the city that we started, the section of the city that we started to work in. It's known as Suki, and it's one of the, it's right on the fringes of Addis Ababa. And Addis Ababa, depending on how many of you have been to other cities in Africa, for example, if you've been to Nairobi, Nairobi is like a Western city. They have skyscrapers, they have, you know, 5-star restaurants, etc. Addis Ababa is not like that. It's more like sprawl. So there's not any major city center. It just sort of keeps going and going and going. And as you hit the fringes, it really is sort of slum-like conditions. It's really poor. You know, the electricity was going out several times a day. Running water was hit or miss. Next slide. And so this is the part of the city that we're in. So there are no paved roads. This is the main road down Suki, and it went for about a mile in either direction. And you can see on the right and left here, these little shanties, and these were basically stores. People were selling food out of there, they were selling cell phones occasionally, et cetera. And behind the stores were where people lived in very much the same conditions. And where people lived, a lot of times they were essentially shacks. You know, if you've been to the bathrooms, they're about the size of a bathroom. And a lot of times you'd have, you know, 2 or 3 people living within these places. And the roof would often leak, and they were, you know, dirt floors, etc. Next slide, please. So this is, again, just another look down. On the first couple days we were there, it rained, and it was just all mud. Next slide. And this is sort of, this is a bakery. Again, very small shops. People would just come up to the windows. Next slide, please. This is the clinic where we were. So they basically are renting this building within the heart of Suki. This is about 100 feet off that main road that you were seeing. You can see the line of people waiting for us. Next slide, please. And what we did is we had this room where we had four tables set up. So you'll see, so I was over in the, I'm off the screen here, but you would have one medical provider, one translator, and then a patient would come in and you basically do a doctor's appointment. And there were four of us in this one room and we'd basically take a medical history and see what's going on. Next slide, please. There's me and my translator and one of the patients. Next slide. And we saw some fascinating things. So the first half of the day, we would take care of all the, quote, beneficiaries that the program actually took care of. So these are people that had signed up for the program, that the program was taking care of. For the second half of the day, and this is when the really ridiculous stuff walked through the door, they would just open up the clinic to the community. And so people with ridiculous medical problems would come through. We saw a ton of TB. We saw leprosy. There was apparently a large leprosy population within Ethiopia. We saw measles. Apparently while we were there, there's also a measles outbreak east of the city. We saw things like leishmaniasis. I mean, just things that maybe you have or haven't heard of, but ridiculous tropical diseases that would walk through the door. Next slide, please. And we also went to one other site that was in more of the urban part of Addis Ababa called Ledeta. Next slide, please. This was the pharmacy. So they have the medical teams, again, bring a whole lot of supplies. Some of them are medications. Some of them are other pharmacy supplies. And we would actually write prescriptions, and they would fill them here at the pharmacy. And they had about 30 or 40 medications on list. They had all the common antibiotics, as well as vitamins. We had diagnosed things. You know, we diagnosed a lot of vitamin deficiencies as well. I had a girl that came in, 11 or 12, that was complaining of seeing only at night. Edward, what's that? I'm pimping you. Vitamin A deficiency, right? So your mom used to tell you to eat your carrots, right, so you can see at night. So vitamin A deficiency. We had people who had bleeding gums, which was due to scurvy, vitamin C deficiency. And we also had people with neuropathy of their feet. You know, in the United States, we generally think of that as diabetes. Here it was due to vitamin B6 deficiency. So we had to, you know, even for myself, it was a challenge to start thinking along these lines. A lot of these common diseases that we see in the United States was completely different than what we see here in Africa. Next slide, please. We didn't have a whole lot of help. I was using the sun to read chest x-rays. Next slide, please. And I gave a lecture. I spent some time teaching them just in general about HIV. Again, some very, very knowledgeable people, but not a whole lot of doctors or nurses on the ground. So I did spend some time just sort of going over HIV. Next slide, please. The people were amazing. So again, I traveled, the only other African country I'd been to was Kenya and Nairobi. But the people here were very respectful. It was very safe. We never felt in danger. We'd actually go walking out at night at times. And this was, you know, after all the people there told us it was okay. So the people were very nice, very respectful. And it was just part of the culture of how they treated foreigners and fellow people. Next slide, please. It's just a picture of the four, us four medical providers. Next slide. And the food was also amazing. So it's a very sort of communal style of eating. They have this bread called injera, and you basically use it to scoop up some of the curry and some of the other spiced meat. And this was one time we went out to eat here. The other times, you do have to be careful. It is a developing country. You do have to be careful about the water that you drink and the food that you eat. We did go out to one restaurant while we were there. So we did have some fun. And that's all I have, but it was an amazing time, and I certainly thank you all, everyone who offered their prayers and supports, and I hope to actually be going back once a year to this place. It was really an amazing program. So thank you very much.
Please join with me giving back to the Lord as we give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you so much for all of these gifts, and we pray that you bless them so that they can be used to continue to share your love and your peace with the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. Judy Kalmoto, who is the co-chair of the Personnel Committee, is just going to say a couple of very brief words about where we are in the transition.
The transition, yes. Good morning. So probably like a lot of you, when I heard the news that Pastor Medhat was going to be leaving, even a little earlier than expected, you know, I had a lot of different emotions, and all those I think are very natural. I was, you know, kind of surprised, a little bit disappointed because he was going to be leaving earlier than expected, and honestly, a little bit of sadness because we've gotten kind of attached to the guy. That's the kind of congregation that we are. It's like we get attached to people pretty quickly. But actually, I hope I don't embarrass Phil Chan when I say this out loud, because when we first heard the news in session, he kind of put it in perspective, you know, for all of us by saying, so let's see, you know, starving kids in Ethiopia, pastor leaving a month early. Yeah. I think we got this. I think we have this managed. And something that I shared with Pastor Medhat is, right after I heard the news, was that you should really never get your work confused with your life. Because if your life isn't in order, you can't do the work. So I think that we all support, you know, his decision and really hope for all the best for him and his family. So then, as the co-chair of the Personnel Committee, and my thoughts transition to, okay, so what's next? And you're probably all thinking, what's next? And lucky for us, the bulk of the work has already been done in terms of his work as interim pastor. And hopefully people will stay after church to hear the report from the interim study committee. I had a chance to read that, and it's great stuff. So kudos to all the people of that committee. I think you'll find that it's very thorough and it's very thoughtful. I think it really captures what this church is about. It's going to be a great foundation for our next steps. So that was a very, very good thing to have that finished. And the personnel committee kicked itself into high gear right away. And myself and my co-chair, David Spader, we've had some meetings and developed a job description for a transitional pastor. And that person is going to be, we talked about what that would be, and David did a great job of taking all of our thoughts and putting them into a coherent job description. And that person will be working here about two-thirds to three-quarter time, we decided. And hopefully we have, starting in January,